Hi, folks. Are you struggling to attract and maintain quality personnel for your department? Well, tonight we're going to be talking some alternative strategies and where some departments are going in that fight to get new personnel on their departments. All that and a little bit more on the next edition of Tailboard Talk right after this.
I'm Craig Morgan, singer, dad, and first responder. I know how quickly a house fire can spread. Help shield your family from danger. Take these simple steps to safety. Replace smoke alarms that are 10 years old. Have fire extinguishers and carbon monoxide alarms on each floor. And practice an escape plan. Now, join me at alarmpledge.com and be a safety hero for your family and the firefighters who'd risk their lives to rescue you. Simple steps worth singing about.
Welcome to Tailboard Talk
with Chris Rasmussen,
Craig Nelson, and Jeff Wallen. Every month we explore different topics of interest to you, our cohorts in fire and emergency services. So whether you sit back and listen, sound off on the message board, or call in live to be part of the conversation, we welcome you to join us in our mission to improve the fire service for those we serve and those we serve beside. Now coming to you live from the Great White North, this is Tailboard Talk on Fire Engineering Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Tailboard Talk for Friday, October 28th. This is Jeff.
This is Craig.
And Chris.
And it's almost Halloween, and there's no snow on the ground, and the temperature is actually pretty
Jeff
nice.
Right away, yep. I knew we'd talk weather.
Give me candy.
You know. He had to go to weather, yeah. Well, he is getting old.
Yeah.
So as you get older, you have to talk more about the weather.
Well, hold on a second. I can also talk about my friends and their medical problems they're having, too. Don't paint me into a one-dimensional box here.
Right to the weather all the time.
Yep.
Ooh, my hip. Yeah, because my hip's been bothering me. I know there's some rain
nice
moving.
That's
a safe space. Between 10 and 2. You know?
No, go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead and talk about
nice, yeah.
So your hip's not bothering you yet?
No. I'm just having mental difficulties this evening. That's about it. Hanging out with you two. It is a challenge.
When is it springtime in the Midwest? I'm already looking forward to it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what, about January 2nd?
Yeah, close to that. Right after Christmas.
Nice.
Well, it's good to see you guys again. It's been a month.
Yeah.
You know,
we don't always get together. It's get a little busy sometimes in life, so
good to get back together and have some time to visit.
Oh.
Yeah, and as long as there's still like an issue or two in the fire service that haven't been addressed and fixed, then I guess we still got a gig.
As long as it's not all rainbows and unicorns, we're good.
Yeah. We'll do the rainbow and unicorn show one day.
Some problem every month, so it's kind of nice.
Yeah, which is why it's strange if that topic ever comes back up again. Cause we already fixed that one,
right?
Like recruitment, we already talked about it. It's done. Yeah. It's fixed. We know what's happening. Fixed forever.
You talk about the job market all the time, right?
Yep.
Weather and job markets.
Both keep changing.
Just wait a week, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, depending on your political viewpoint, maybe as a society we need to be addressing both to look for the future. I don't know, but I do know that we're seeing changes in the applicant pool of the people that we're hiring, and I'm noticing little subtle changes in job marketing from other departments. You know, within 200, 300 miles of our agency, they're telling us, whoa, maybe we're going to have to be looking at some things to change moving down the road if we want to still be recruiting successful applicants into the department.
So departments we are, I guess, hate to say the word, competing with in the fire service, because we're one big happy fire service, right?
Yeah.
But we are maybe offering the same jobs to the same people.
We are.
So how do we, you know, make our departments look
more
attractive?
Yeah, and I, like you said, we're seeing changes. Some of those changes are good. I think we are increasing our diversity. That's good. That's a positive change. But one of the negatives is we're seeing the numbers drop, and obviously this isn't the first time we've talked about this, but it is such a big issue. I think it's important to hit it again, and that's kind of what spurred us to hit on this tonight, is we're hearing some pretty cool new ideas for recruiting and to try and get new people involved in the fire service. And I also think that if you're a firefighter listening, this does apply to you too, because our firefighters are our best recruiters. In a lot of cases, if you're from a very small department or a volunteer department, you are the recruiters. Everybody needs to be recruiting, especially as our numbers drop. And so I think this is important for, one, hopefully you listening, but also, two, hopefully if you're listening, this maybe spurs some ideas that you get and kind of steamroll or snowball off of this.
Right. So as the numbers drop, maybe the quality drops somewhat sometimes.
It can.
Yeah. Yep. And so as a firefighter out there or as an administration or whatever, you want to find the great candidates, obviously what we want in our department. So you don't want to, as firefighters out there, you should be looking for people that you would like to be working besides, right? Mm-hmm. So the guy or gal I want to walk into a fire with, those type of situations. So.
And that's some of the mindset that it's not the easiest to change amongst the firefighters that are working in our departments. When you're talking about they need to be our recruiters, some of these ideas for recruiting and things that we might have to change to recruit quality people, is it comes down in the bottom line to who do you want right in the seat next to you?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, do you want a good, highly qualified person who can do the job well, is motivated, wants to be there? Or do you want just whoever we can get to fill that seat
right. That
maybe isn't that good, that isn't forward-thinking at a fire, thinking about the fire development, where it's going, crew integrity, crew safety. Do you want to be next to a good person or just some...
And in turn, that person, is, if it keeps dropping, that person is chief someday.
Oh, God forbid. God forbid.
Well, and even somebody that would be good at it, that likes it, that's where their interests are. Or they want a job where... they aren't sitting behind a desk. They want a job where every day is different. They want a job where they're getting 18, 20 days off a month.
Right.
I think we need to focus on the positive aspects too, especially to compete with all the working from home options that are now out there and becoming more popular.
High dollar starting pays.
And in a lot of times, in a lot of cases, I think we sell ourselves short in that. Yeah, we always have base pay, but firefighters, because of our schedule, do get the opportunity to work a significant amount of overtime that really can increase that base salary. And the other thing that it does, too, with our schedule is it allows many of them to have moon jobs or other careers, other jobs. They have their own businesses, and they're very successful. So I think those are some great marketing aspects we have that we maybe don't use as much as we could.
Yeah, I don't want to say to make an honest living you have to work overtime.
No.
You have to work a second job. That's not what we're saying.
No.
Obviously, that's a whole other show that we can do about starting pay. But here's an opportunity to take your starting pay and do some other things. If it's a second job, or if it's overtime, or if it's spend time with your family, or, you know... my wife never liked it when I said I had to babysit the kids, but I got to be home with them and not paying child care.
Yep.
You know, those kind of things are some huge advantages.
That's a huge aspect, especially when you look at it, taking care of kids and how expensive that is, how hard it is to get into daycares. Yep. I know when my kids were young, that was one of those where we were able to work it out where we could take them to daycare and only pay for the days they were there.
Yep.
In a lot of cases, that's hard to find anymore. But if you have a relative or somebody else that's willing to do it 1 or 2 days a week, you can make it work.
Yeah.
Where they're going, no, I can't watch your kids 5 days a week, but I could do 1 or 2. And all of a sudden, it's workable, and then you're home with your kids.
So those are the pluses, obviously, the schedule, you know, and
this,
gives you an opportunity to spend more time with family or make it second income or start a new business or go back to school or I could list them all, the things you can do on your days off or take a nap because you had a long day, all kinds of different things to go there. But Jeff, you mentioned there's some departments out there maybe doing some different things.
They are, and before we totally abandon this approach, the other thing is, do our applicants or the people we're trying to recruit know about this?
Yeah.
And we've been in the mindset so long of being able to weed through a large applicant pool who wants to be firefighters, who have some familiarity with the job, that you didn't even have to get into selling why the job was great, because there are enough people that wanted it, you would get the good applicants out of that. And so we're rapidly approaching a time where we really have to sell all of these benefits and who this type of job might appeal to, because it's not automatically understood when kids come out of high school or when people have been working another job for 10 or 15 years. I shouldn't sidetrack too much, but a lot of our a lot of the people we've been hiring in the past 10 to 15 years aren't 21-year-olds right out of high school or the military. They tend to be people in their 30s, sometimes even in their 40s, who have had other work and life experiences and have then come to decide what do they want to do, what's important to them, and are taking firefighting jobs for that because of the things they know they don't like or the things they're trying to get out of the job. And that pool is a little bit drying up as well, too. So we probably need to market ourselves.
And another aspect, we forget to market, is you can feel pretty damn good about yourself after working a shift at a fire station, because you're pretty much, your sole purpose there is to help people.
Right.
And that's one thing that, I'm not ever going to be a rich millionaire, but I tell you what, I feel good about what I do and I feel good about myself, yeah, because I'm trying to help my community. I'm trying to help make it better, make it safer. And there's a lot to be said for that. And I think that's a lot of why you see these people like Jeff was just talking about that are moving from one career to the next later in life. They're going, hey, the money doesn't buy, the money can't buy happiness. It can buy a lot of things that can make you happy. Don't get me wrong, but
I'd like to try it someday. But
going and feeling good about yourself is so important. And that's where we see people that come that they may be self-made already, financially set for life, but they work at the fire department because they like doing something that makes them a better person, helps their community. And also, I talked about moon jobs. We have people that make more at their moon jobs with their own business than they do at the fire department, but they stay with the fire department because of what that means to them and because of the camaraderie and because of helping the community and feeling good about what they do.
I think that's one of the biggest motivators for being here, is feeling like you've accomplished something, like you've made a difference in somebody's life that makes you feel good. When you've connected somebody who's having a bad day with a thing that's going to turn them around on a medical call or at a fire scene, when you've done something to make their life better, it feels fulfilling. It makes your life feel worthwhile. And the career is enjoyable. It gives you a sense of self-worth. If you think of a hierarchy of motivators for people, sure, Maslow's hierarchy, you want base security of housing and pay and security in your job. And after that, if there's jobs aplenty out there where you're not worried about not being able to make the mortgage payment, it's just where are you going to work, then those other things start to come into play where I'm wanting camaraderie, I'm wanting socializations, I want to feel good about myself.
I want to be part of a team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we don't typically market that because we haven't had to before.
No.
So we need to start marketing those things, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking back, this is now coming on my 30th year in the fire service, and I became a fireman because my grandfather was a firefighter, and I met my beautiful wife, and I was like, I got to figure something out in life here. And he said, why don't you check out the fire service? I had spent my whole life walking around Jeff's fire station. I knew all about the fire service. When it came time to be an adult, it wasn't on my radar.
Mm-hmm.
And it came time when I'm talking to have a great conversation with my grandpa, and I'm like, hey, man, what do I do? And he goes, you should check this thing out. He never once mentioned it as I was growing up, never once said a thing. Got to the age, and he's like, hey, check it out. And it's the greatest thing I ever did.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I grew up in the fire service to a certain degree. My dad had been on our volunteer department in our hometown when I was younger. He had a Plectron box up on the dresser that would go off before pagers were to let him know to go to the fire hall. I grew up watching Emergency and loving all that. It sounds cliche, but you know.
I'm an Emergency guy.
Yeah, we all watched it.
Yep, we all watched it.
So I was attracted to the fire service, but yet I didn't consider it for a career. I didn't consider volunteering to do that. And I had a friend in high school whose dad was the fire chief in our small hometown. And he was like gung-ho all fire service. You know, I mean, he knew that was a pathway he wanted to take. But I didn't consider it until one day he said, you should think about joining the fire department. So, I mean, it was there, but it was one person that reached out and said, you should think about this. Right. I don't know. You know, I was going to go to school to become a civil engineer and build roads and bridges and stuff like that. And just come check it out. See what you think. I mean, it was that simple. Right. I thought, I do kind of like a lot of this stuff. The thought hadn't occurred to me to take any type of an action step in that direction.
But that, and, that's
and that one invitation was what changed the whole course of my life.
Yep. From you two is exactly what I'm talking about, and exactly what I look at myself and go, a big part of my job for our department is recruiting.
Yeah.
And I forget to tell people about it that I meet and that I know that I think might be good at it or might be interested in it. And I just, there's a young man I know that I recently approached on. I said, hey, you should come do a ride-along. And that's the first one I've talked to because it's one of those where I'm telling everybody else in the department, hey, you should recruit. Hey, if you know anybody, mention it to them. But I forget to do it myself, and I think we all forget to do that. And so that's what we're getting at here is if you work for a fire department, if you're listening to this, it's also your job to recruit, and I don't want to call it a job because it makes it sound like too much work, but it's really, you might pull somebody into something that they go, thank you for bringing me into this. That's what I hear from you with your grandpa and, and Jeff, the same thing, where you go, wow, I wasn't thinking that, but this person helped bring me into this. And I know for myself that that was part of it too, is my cousin in L.A. Hey, you want to do a ride-along? Come on, jump on. From that moment, I think I was hooked. That action just sucked me in. But so part of it is we got to get these folks in to do ride-alongs. Come in. See what it's like. See what life in the fire station's like. See what it can be. See the excitement. Maybe the boredom once in a while, but not a whole lot these days. But come in and see what it's like to ride on a fire truck.
Our most recent recruit that we hired was recruited into the service by a now retired member of our department when he was younger. They knew each other through church. He was a much younger man at the time and said, oh, you should think about that. This might be right up your alley. And this person had other work he was already doing. And he did just what you said. He did a ride-along. Said, huh. And so from that point, he went out and got his Firefighter 1, went through a tech college program, and then started working part-time for another fire department doing fill-ins and so forth. And long story short, 7 years after he got his first part-time paid job in the fire service, we just got him at Moorhead Fire, and that's where he wanted to be because of where he was initially recruited by somebody in our department. And to think of a 7 to 10 year journey to get to here, where we were at, because of one person reaching out one day and saying, yeah, you should check this out. I think this is the kind of thing that you might actually like.
Yeah.
Because he knew his personality. He knew what he valued and said, I think this lines up with it, buddy. Well, and he would never have done that on his own.
I think people have preconceived notions about what it is that are very off and not very accurate. Until you do a ride-along, you don't see it. And then when you do a ride-along, you get to see. You get the excitement of the action. You get to see what the crew does when they're back in quarters. You get to see what they do during the day on a normal basis. And I think it really opens people's eyes.
Yeah, and we like say we have to do a better job of telling people about the job. I've always, you know, it always seems to be like maybe a fallback type thing, and I don't necessarily that's right, you know, because I'm glad the route I took, but it wasn't my initial route. I wish it would have been, you know, maybe on par right off the bat, but that doesn't change much right now. You know, you always hear these stories, and you always see the TV movies and all this stuff about these big departments where their dad's a firefighter, their uncles are firefighters, their grandfather was a firefighter. Well, that's a natural, sometimes, progression for younger kids to see what their folks are doing. But in 99% of the fire service is not necessarily like that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You don't have seven generations at Moorhead Fire or Fargo Fire. You know, you have a few generations, few things like that, but not that history of that. So those are built-in promotions, but now we've got to get out and hit the streets and talk about it.
It's interesting that if you sat and looked at TV shows or movies, that analytically probably a very small percentage of the people even in those TV shows or movies that are legacies, so to speak, but like that's the story that comes front and center over and over again. So you see that, don't think about the background. And that
fireman,
could,
I'm going to be a fireman, my son's going to be a fireman.
That could also be
great, but doesn't necessarily work out well.
Yeah, it could also be something that distracts or discourages some people from getting in thinking, well, my family's never been in the fire service.
My dad's never been in the military, so I'm not going to the military. My dad's never been a cop.
It has nothing to do
with
that end of it. Oh, that's interesting.
So, yeah, I think that's a good thing. But now we also have to make the job attractive to individuals that maybe are looking for something else to do.
Right? Yeah. So what do you get? You get them interested. You get them to do a ride along. You get them to think about putting an application in, or they do. What are those things that we can do that would help encourage them.
Right. So this is that base end of Maslow's hierarchy. And I didn't want to turn this into the Maslow show as I'm making pyramids with my hands that nobody can see.
You, right right from Weather you. To Thank Maslow.
You. Yeah,
he's still in his safe space.
I'll tell you, the day you two can't show up to this show, it's going to be a humdinger. Let me tell you what.
I'm kind of a reverse Maslow. That's a whole nother show.
Yep. All right. So, you know, there's the key that some people have to be able to leave the work environment they're in to come to the fire service, even if they want to. And sometimes it's because they're already working for another department and they've got enough time in there that they might stand too much to lose to go to another department or agency or city or retirement system or state to take a job, even if they're a good qualified applicant you want to get. And that's been our first level of thinking, you know, is, boy, and probably 10 years ago, you might only be thinking about that with high level officers. Oh, we really need an assistant chief of operations over here, somebody that is going to be in charge of professional standards, and none of our folks internally have been really geared to that weird, funky niche, and so you might pick somebody else who's in an upper level in the other departments. But now firefighters are roaming from one department to another, maybe if they're in the first few years of their career more so than later on. But as you're seeing that, departments are starting to think, what do I need to do to be able to attract somebody who might have 5 years on with agency A, and for whatever reason, they're looking to make a change geographically because of the social structure, chances of promotion, whatever it is. And so people are actually looking to actively recruit firefighters now, and not just they've been here for 6 months and they've always been trying to get back home where they lived. But hey, if it's a little bit greener over here on this side, maybe you'll come this way. And I saw one of the first ads that I had seen of this down in the Twin Cities area of Minnesota, that a department was offering to front-end load sick leave for employees looking to change jobs. And if I've gotten the location in the state wrong, forgive me, because this could have been another part of Minnesota. But the idea of, hold it, you can start on a fire department, they're going to give you sick leave right off the bat, because you don't earn it till the day you start.
Right.
Everybody's got seniority. You start earning on day one. That's how things start. And the idea seemed crazy to me, and it's going to break down everything in the whole fire service. But private companies, if company A is looking to hire somebody who's had 5 years of engineering experience at another place, do you think they're going to say, well, we're going to treat you like you just got out of college? Base starting way, no benefits, nothing built up. That's not how the private sector works. No, you're going to match some bennies and make sure that
negotiate.
You got some. Exactly.
Yeah, negotiate.
And we've never had to really negotiate, unless it's for a top official.
Right.
You've never had to. And so the idea seems foreign.
So
but
what do you mean by
natural.
Front loading, Jeff? So are you saying like they're giving you 100 hours of vacation
so,
or sick time? Or
so
whatever?
Yeah, like you've got 150 hours to start with in your sick leave bank from day one. So that way, if you're leaving a place where you've built up 4 or 5 years of sick leave earnings, you don't go, oh crap, if I get into a car accident and I got to spend a week or two rehabbing a leg or something, I'm not going to get paid. They're going to make sure that you've got enough security to make the jump from one organization to another. And that's where the mindset's a little bit different. It's like, they got a benefit I didn't get. This is crazy. You can't be giving people sick leave. I never got the sick leave. And it's like, well, if this is what it takes to get a quality person to move in here from somewhere else, and they might be moving into the fire service from plumbing or being an electrician or, you know, being in a business sector, but they need the security to know that if I run into a problem the first couple of years here, I'm covered. And that's foreign to us, but we always had people that were willing to just take anything they could get. I mean, I took the first job I could get after working years testing at multiple departments to try to get in. Right. And now we're trying to draw people, find quality people that we can draw away from other avenues of employment. And sometimes our labor systems haven't quite caught up with that.
That's interesting, because you could, you know, obviously you could front load sick time. You could front load, hey, I'm going to start you out at a higher level of vacation earning.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I could maybe start you out at maybe a different step of your pay. You're not necessarily starting out at the step one. You could have a lateral transfer of a captain to a captain. You could, you know, do those kind of things. Because we never, you'll never see, I shouldn't say you'll never see, because we are, but I've never seen a negotiation at the firefighter level. I've seen negotiations at chief level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to come in with 4 weeks of vacation, and I want to be at this part of the pay scale, and I want to be.
Well, and what's funny is that
you've never
pretty,
seen it as a new employee.
No, but that's pretty standard.
Yeah.
But yet, if you're hiring an employee that, especially if they've had other careers, they've got some experience in life and work, and well, why wouldn't you have some negotiations. Yeah. It seems kind of silly. And again, I know civil service, but.
But they're coming in still, with an experience level of something.
Yeah.
Maybe higher than a brand new. Yes.
So wouldn't it make sense to go, okay, we're going to start you out at this?
And
we, obviously, you're going to have problems. There'll be issues.
It's going to create issues. Yep.
Yeah. I have been aware of smaller departments that have negotiated at that entry level. Okay. And sometimes as far back as 15 years, but it would be unusual years ago for a career person to kind of move from one job to another, unless they're really trying to get back to something. But I am aware of negotiations that are happening in smaller departments now to entice that person to make that jump from A to B.
Yeah.
It's an interesting, it's an interesting thing to be looking at. I'm sure there's departments that are listening that probably do that.
Yeah, and our budgets haven't necessarily been laid out to do that.
Yeah.
Our labor structures aren't laid out to do that, because we assume everybody's going to start as a firefighter right out of the military or right out of high school and ride their whole career with us. But a career in the fire service now might be 10 years.
Yeah.
Well, it might be when you start at 40, and then you move on to something else as your sunset career.
We're trying to follow civil service rules that maybe those need to be updated or changed. Yeah. Or we maybe need to approach civil service on, I don't want to say bending it, because then it makes it sound like we're cheating, but changing some of these things too.
Yeah, and it does feel a little bit like changing or bending the rules, except the job market has shifted so dramatically that the old rules were made for a different job market.
And I certainly would struggle to see two 21-year-olds walk into the department, and one guy negotiates his way to step 5, and the other doesn't.
Yeah,
didn't even think about negotiating. And I'd be like, I'd have a little problem with some of that.
Nobody told me.
Yeah, I couldn't. I'm in step 5.
Would you negotiate? What?
I haven't seen negotiations yet that come without experience, and usually career experience, not something else.
Related However, to fire directly.
Yeah. Yeah. This is something we didn't do 10 years ago. So what are we going to be doing 10 years from now? Yeah.
Well, and the three of us sitting at the table aren't going to change departments unless I have a significant financial gain, right?
Right.
So I'm not starting at step one. I'm not going to your department, Jeff, and starting at step one, earning my vacation and sick time.
Yeah.
I'm not going there starting the lowest pay of my position that I'm applying to.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
If your state or local retirement system has restrictive periods of time before you're vested, like the old idea would be... Oh, you have to have a good long career in the fire service before you get the most that you could get out of your benefits. Yeah. So Minnesota has a pretty restrictive system in place right now that was put in place years ago where there are penalties for leaving early, and not just because of your time where you earn so many per year, but it actually reduces the amount that you've earned already if you don't stay long enough in your department or career.
The pension plans are a whole different monster. I mean,
I was just going to say,
especially when you deal
with that's a whole other
state program.
When you look at the new generation, the younger generations, and they from what I'm hearing, want to be more mobile. The pensions have traditionally been a very solid benefit that helps us retain people. I still think overall they really do help us retain a lot of people, but as I hear more and more firefighters kind of going, I don't care about the pension.
Right.
This is my plan. I'm going to work here a few years, then I'm going to go somewhere else, and then I'm going to... Then we have to change our mode of thinking, too.
Yeah. I was 22 years old when I started. When they told me about the pension, I had no idea. What? That's pretty sweet.
Sweet, yeah.
If I get hurt tomorrow, that's pretty cool. A disability, what?
But you know, if you're
I had no idea it was even involved in that.
Right. But if you're hiring somebody at 30 and saying, I expect to job hop a few more times before I'm done here, I want everything to be able to go into my 401k. Yeah. Yep. Or that what I've got for my pension can roll over with good tax benefits for doing that. Not I'm going to be penalized because it moves from this fund to that fund. So we at the very least have to make sure that the systems we have in place are portable with people if they choose to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
To be able for some people to take that risk to jump into this profession.
Yeah, pension's a whole different conversation, because I'd rather hire a guy that's going to stand my pension for 30 years to protect my pension.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't get greedy too often, or what about me thing. It's that pension. I'm a what about me guy. Other than that.
Yeah. After how many years? Yeah, I'm a what about me guy.
Yeah, I'm a what about me. Ask me when I was here five, when I was 27 years old. Yeah, it wouldn't have mattered. But
yeah.
So what other things could a person, what else could we offer to employees that could entice them? Well, I know we've talked about child care, Craig, in the past.
Yeah, yep. Like, I still think that's a big one that I'd love to see the city embrace someday. I don't think they're even talking about it. But I think if you can do some of those things, that's definitely going to help you with employees. Because when you look at the workforce out there, you go, okay, what are some of the big issues? And one of the biggest is child care, affordable child care, and reliable child care. And especially for us that work in public safety, police, fire, EMS, child care doesn't just mean child care Monday through Friday. It means weekends, evenings, yeah, holidays, overnights. And so if a bigger city, county system could take on something like that, I think that would be a massive benefit if you could do it at a reasonable cost to the employees. And so I think we need to look at those things. I'm not saying it would work, but I do think there are some of those things that would really help us recruit and compete.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a nice added benefit. I personally wouldn't use it. My kids are older now, but I mean, what a great way to bring in some.
Well, look at the barriers for people to go into police and fire. Yeah. What are some of the? That's one of the biggest barriers is having young children, and how do you get childcare when you got to work a night shift? You got to work a 24-hour shift, or whatever your shift is. You got to work on Christmas, holidays. What a huge deal if you had I can just take them in and take them to the daycare system and work.
Right.
That's massive.
You know, obviously pay is a benefit. Our benefits themselves, you know, health care costs, you know, keep an eye on that. I think our city does a pretty good job of
keeping it
fairly neutral.
This is me kind of going off on my own little soapbox, but I do think pay is going to become more and more important. I think if you have a competitive pay system, it is going to save you a fair amount of money in the long run, because you're not only going to retract more employees and better employees, you're going to retain the ones you have, because just like we talked about, it's going to become increasingly more competitive for employees. So Jeff's across the river from us. I think we will see that in the future where we've got employees. We're already starting to see it a little bit, but I think it'll get more competitive where, well, they're paying more over there. See ya. I'm going over there.
Yeah.
And so if we can maintain those competitive pay structures and scales, it's going to help us attract and retain those people. They're going to stay instead of leaving.
Yeah, and those people who are really motivated to be there because that pay is good and they're looking for that kind of job or your department, again, are more likely to stay than the somewhat motivated, the pay's not so great, but I guess I kind of like the hours, so I don't know.
Yep, I'm getting some experience and I'm out of here as soon as I get a different offer. The places that pay less are going to see more turnover.
Right.
And it's going to cost them a lot.
It is really difficult for me to have a conversation with someone that's not a fireman and, hey, you should be a firefighter. Your starting wage, by the way, is $19 an hour. And they look at you like, whoa. You know, you got to explain the 56-hour work week. You got to explain all the opportunities for overtime.
Start with the annual earnings there.
Right, yeah.
That's literally what we had to do.
The last 3 years, I've called HR and said, I don't want to post the hourly because it's a 56-hour work week, so it's a different. So we have to post the annual, and that's what I have them post is because the hourly doesn't compete. It doesn't look right. In these days, the last 2-3 years, the inflation the last year, it looks dramatically worse. And it's not as bad as it looks, but people don't understand that.
Right.
All they're looking at is this is what this pays an hour, and that's what that pays an hour.
Yeah.
So
I can go into a burning house, or I can flip burgers for the same cost.
Yep.
Makes a person nervous, right?
Yep. Yep.
Now, in the long run, they're making more money. Firemen are making more money. And
they have better benefits and pension, other
but
things.
But when you look at a 20-year-old kid is looking at, what can I make? You get a little nervous, right? So you kind of don't talk about that. You talk about what they make a year and what they can make in the scale of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, and then the promotion opportunities and all those other things. But that's time, right? That's not walking in that door. You're making the same as flipping burgers. So how do we make it sound like, or not sound, how can we make it better to entice the right people?
How do we describe those positive aspects of the job? Because I mean, it's there. It's been built into the job. It continues to be that part of the job. And it's the thing we overlook because we're humble people, at least up here in the Midwest, I know, we don't talk about
no.
all those things that, why does this job make you feel great yeah. about coming to work? Why does it make you want to stay? How does it make you feel as a person? Well, we're really in Minnesota, so we don't talk about how we feel individually as people. But there are some ads that are starting to go that way. Being part of a team, making a difference in the lives of others
yeah.
that are starting to show up on some, I saw an ad on the West Coast for a department that was recruiting, and they were touting that and like way up front in your face, like they were trying to recruit for United Way or a service organization, you know, where, you know, they're in with, I don't know where I'm going with this,
well,
but
I mean, you're
talking about the social,
I the
social
back to the aspects. Weather, but
yeah, obviously we end up with weather.
you ran into California,
and the
so
turnout gear keeps you
sunny
yeah, it keeps you warm when it's cold
weather.
Outside. You know, we're coming up to weather, weather in the Great White North here.
I love our law enforcement family that we work with, but you know, their starting pay is pretty similar to ours.
Yep.
And if I had a choice between the two directions I was going right now, I'm mm-hmm. thinking I'd be a firefighter. Get paid the same and not nearly take the abuse that these guys and gals are taking on in the street that we're seeing.
Yeah.
So that's one advantage. Could maybe put that on there. Don't be. But I don't think, you know, I think we want to do good things. So getting out there, telling people that to promote, you know, the fire service, look for people that you'd like to work, sit in the seat next to, like you said, Jeff, mm-hmm. promote the fire service, promote the good aspects, promote the advantages, team. I mean, we could go on a thousand. Everyone listening has a thousand reasons why they're sitting in that seat.
Yep. But I think it comes back to where the rubber hits the road, and I'm guilty of not doing this, but get people to come do a ride along, show them the fire station, show them the equipment, show them some of that stuff. Because I think the ride-along is key, because we get a fair number of people that come in, see the department, they see the equipment, and it seems very foreign and very difficult, and it seems like a huge obstacle. And I think when they do the ride-along, they see it working and how it works, and they kind of get an idea of, maybe I could do this. I think there is some intimidation there that we don't realize, because we've all been in the system for so long. But when I try to think back to when I first started, that's intimidating, going into a tight-knit group of people that work. Yep. They function there as a high-performing team. That's intimidating. Yep. Can I fit in that with that group? Will I be successful? Will I fit in? I'll become those questions. And I think the ride-along lets people see that, yeah, you can fit in here just fine, especially if you have an interest in this and a desire for it.
Right. No, it's definitely a great career. I would never want to redo what I did, what the choices I made in my life. So I'm very proud to be a firefighter. Very proud to work for an organization like the one I work for. And we have great neighboring departments. It's just so easy to be able to tell I work for this department. And I don't even hesitate. Even though I know my buddies, some of them make 7 times more than I do. You know, but I'm like, I don't hesitate. I'm mm-hmm. just whatever you're doing, I'm doing it. You know, so it's great. But get the word out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the biggest thing.
There we go.
So we've now figured out recruitment probably for the second or third time.
Yeah, second, third, fourth. Yeah. But it's so important and so critical these days. Again, I hate to keep beating a dead horse here, but my God, we are hitting some tough times where the numbers are drastically dropping. I can't imagine what it's like for the volunteer departments and those folks that might be listening. It's tough enough for us in full time, but we need to be having these conversations. We need to put this front and center in our minds. One of the research papers I did for my EFO was on recruitment, and I remember one of the references said that the top CEOs out there are always recruiting.
Yeah.
And they have the luxury of offering people jobs when they don't even have a job for them, and that's what they'll do. When they meet that right person, that person that has that personality and that charisma, and they'll just offer them a job. I'd like to hire you. Boom. Well, they can do that in private industry right. and in the corporate world. We don't have that luxury, but I do think, just like the corporate world is doing, we should always be recruiting. We should always be looking for that next person going, hey, do you ever think about working for the fire department? Hey, did you ever come do a ride along and just give it a shot? No commitment here. You just come see what it's like.
Right.
I think we need to get better at
Yeah, I mean, you guys came into the department when, I mean, I took a test with 300 people were in that Civic Center auditorium, 300 people. Now we're getting, Craig, how many?
We had 40? 40-some applicants this last time, yeah.
That's a huge difference. Now, some of that, we've created that problem, but some of it is what's going on in the world. So we need to be looking, if we're only going to have 40, they better be 40 rock stars, right? if that's what we want, right?
So, yep.
Get out there. Good.
All right, anything to say about the weather in closing?
Well, it's going to change. I'm looking forward to next month's update on the cold weather.
Yeah. All right, sure. I'll be working on that one.
I'm going to hope that we're snow-free next month.
Yeah,
still.
Yeah, we'll celebrate that.
That
we'll
might not be realistic, but I'm going to hope for it.
All right. Well, as we start working our way towards Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up, stay safe.
Yeah. Stay safe.
Keep your mind in the game. Happy holidays. Yeah, I think you can. Okay. There's lots of
Halloween's
them
a holiday.
Yeah, happy Halloween.
All right, we'll catch you on the next one. Take care.
See you later.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to Tailboard Talk. Don't forget to tune in each week, Monday through Friday, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Pacific, for Fire Engineering Talk Radio. You can also subscribe to all of our shows on iTunes. Just search for Fire Engineering Talk Radio. Check out our educational programs and consultation services. They're all available at tailboardconsulting.com. There you can find links to all of our shows and our magazine articles. Thanks for listening and join us again next month for another episode of Tailboard Talk on Fire Engineering Talk Radio.